Hey everyone, you're listening to the Spiritual Bazaar. My name is A, and that is the anonymous name I will be going by. So what's the point of this? Basically, I am an addict, alcoholic, who has relapsed more than once, and I'm coming off of a recent relapse, and I want to share my story. More importantly, I want to share my spiritual journey. I don't really know where I'm going to go with this program. It won't be 100% about recovery, but it will focus primarily on that. And my hope is that I'll learn something about myself, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I can reach somebody out there who is feeling a little lost or in need of some words of encouragement or support. Maybe someone who hasn't found a program that works for them. Somebody who just feels lost. And I've felt lost for a long, long time. Something I wrote here that I was thinking about reading as official opening for the show, but I don't know. I'm not really sure how the format's going to work out. I'm not sure how long each episode's going to be. I just know that this is something that I need to do. So, I was going to say at the beginning of the show, or episode, or cast, or whatever this is, an anonymous audio cast by someone on the road to recovery while exploring spiritual paths and the mystery of life. So this show isn't just for people recovering. It's for anyone. Anyone who's interested in spirituality, interested in trying to figure out their own effed up mind. Anyone who feels really lost, like I have for a long time, leading up to my recent relapse and recovery. As of today, I have 34 days sober. I went to a rehab called the New Direction, and that's in New York State. And I spent 28 days there. 28 days of reflection, 28 days of living with and surrounded by addicts, 28 days of group session, of meetings, and 28 days of really accepting who I am as a person, and the fact that I am completely powerless over my addiction. And I made a lot of friends there too. And it's weird. There's something about meeting other people who know exactly what you're feeling, exactly what you're going through, and the pain that you're going through. And I've definitely made some friends for life there. Future episodes, I'd love to, get a guest on, maybe an author. But if only 5 people ever listen to this program, that's probably never going to happen. Maybe no one will listen to this program. I have no idea. But, yeah, so 2 days after I relapsed, I hit what was probably, my bottom. I just felt completely, completely paralyzed. In the past, I'd sort of break down and cry, and I'd know I messed up, and I know that I'm an addict. But this is the first time I felt truly, truly powerless over the fact that I could not just choose. How can you not choose? How can you not just say, I'm not going to pick up a drink ever again? Especially when you've hurt a significant other so deeply and you've damaged them. You've torn their soul apart. You've hurt their family and friends that are close to you. You make people worry. Why? I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. I just, I kept thinking that if I loved someone enough, that should be enough. And that's what I kept trying, and I kept trying, and I felt so shameful that I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And when you're an addict and you're dry for years at a time, even if you have no spiritual growth, if you have no program to work on, it's like the disease progresses, even if you're not using, and that's something that I have experienced over the years. So, before I keep on rambling, I thought maybe I'll just share a journal entry, and I won't do this all the time, and I won't share every journal entry I make, but a journal entry that I made on my first day at my rehab at New Directions. If there are any names, I'll just use a first initial. So here we go. Day one at ND. I had so many thoughts that I wanted to write down. But now that it is the end of the day, I find that I don't know where to start. I think, and thinking is the problem here, that my mind is playing games with me as it usually does. I've already started convincing myself about what it is I need to do and how to behave. That addict ego wants me to be an all-star, exemplary, recovering addict who will near master how to live a sober life. But the truth is, I have some ideas, but absolutely no effing clue. That's why I'm here. Even though I know I have not had a healthy control over my everyday thinking, but my addictive mind wants to at least convince me that I do. And I really do want to feel that I do. I feel guilty and remorseful that I have so deeply hurt and damaged those closest to me. But if those that I most love didn't love me enough, I wouldn't be here. It was not my idea to come here. However, it did not take me long, just 2 days after my relapse, to accept this treatment and commitment. And now that I'm here, all that I wish for is to put my arms around my beautiful love. Separation anxiety has hit me hard. It hits me hard and deep because the most blissful place for me is with her. I know she is in a state of terrible agony, and it is all because of my past failures at sobriety. So, this is my last chance at figuring out how I need to think and do, or it's over. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love us. So I think for me, the hardest thing was to face the pain that I've caused the person that I love the most. And like I said before, you would think that would be enough, but it's not. It's not enough. So where do I start? Where do I start? I start with, I'm an addict. I'm powerless. And I need to turn my will over to something else. And then for a lot of people, that might sound crazy, but, and I'm not a religious person, but that's not unlike religious thought, whether it's Buddhism or Christianity or Islam, Hinduism, you know, the sort of, and I know this is a hot word and it's not my favorite word, but the sort of faith that you put in something else, you trust that something else will guide you, because guess what? I can't trust myself. And if I can't trust myself, how can I strike out on a new path? And how can anyone else trust me? I've burnt all my bridges of trust with the people closest to me. Well, I've always been a spiritual person. I always refer to the universe, you know, the sort of life force that exists out there. And that's what I use as my my higher power. I do use a 12-step program. I've tried it before, but I've never gone wholeheartedly into it. You know, I always kept a piece of my own self-will. And it was shame that really kept me back from jumping into the program. And now I have surrendered my will over to the big you, the big universe. And even though I've had stints in the past where I've meditated a long time ago, I was trying yoga and Pilates. It's been probably about 12 years since I've done that. And things are starting to get a little bit better, at least inside me. I don't put a sort of pressure on myself and anxiety that I used to. And anxiety was my number one cause for relapse. It was whatever the root causes of having that anxiety were, they could be different. But the fact is, this recent time, I built myself into such a terrible, terrible anxiety. I was getting panic attacks, you know, maybe it was something like an early midlife crisis. I was falling apart, and I didn't do what I needed to do. I didn't reach out for help, and I didn't share my thoughts, because what happens is that the ego itself is designed to keep you alive. It's designed to keep you afraid of attack. It's designed to get you food and water. It's designed for you to perpetuate the species. And the ego is not perfect. The ego is an old part of the mind that was developed for humans for survival. And I think what happens with an addict is eventually, one, you have the actual physical disease that can debilitate you. But two, the mind gets so warped, and you get so guilty and filled with so much shame and frustration, and then anger, and then resentment and bitterness, and you start hating yourself. What happens is the ego mind, I feel like the best way to describe it would be, is appropriated by the disease mind, and it sort of fuses into one. You know, the cravings, the desire for the relief, the medication, the self-medication, the brain itself needing a medication, needing something to make you feel normal again. And it appropriates the ego. And then once the ego is involved, that's a superpower right there. There's like no way of stopping it, or virtually no way, until you pretty much crash and burn. Like a lot of people say, you know, bottom out. I definitely hit my bottom. And there are different bottoms, and you can hit different bottoms. I've heard people share that in the recovery programs. And that guy had said earlier, I was numb, practically numb. I mean, I felt like I should have cried more. I felt like I should have been angry, but I was just so deeply ashamed and beaten down by myself and the damage that I'd done to others, that I just couldn't. The ego collapsed. There was no ego, at least for that short period of time. But the thing is, once you start recovering, you start feeling better again. Little by little, that ego, that controlling part of the mind, starts to flare up just little by little. And that's one of the hardest things, and I think it takes a lot of people out, including myself. So I'm not going to ramble on too much. I think that's a good start to share now. I'm grateful. I'm extremely grateful for the people that love me and that are in my lives. I'm grateful for the fact that I am sober today. And I'm grateful for the fact that there are resources out there for recovery. And even things like the book I was reading, Heal the Shame That Binds You. Heal the Shame that Binds You. By the time I finished that book, I literally had a significant reduction in guilt and in anxiety. And, you know, I'm on my way. I still have a little bit. I don't know. I have depression. I do. It's not severe like it once was a month and a half ago. I still have a little bit of anxiety. On the occasion, I have a hard time looking at people in the eye, because I know I have so many defects inside of me that I need to work on. But I am reaching out, and I'm meeting other people who understand what I'm going through. And for me, a spiritual path is one of the core principles of recovery. You know, maybe one day someone is going to invent the magic pill. you know, that'll prevent people from becoming addicts. But one, I highly doubt it. And two, I used to think about that and I used to hold that in the back of my mind that maybe, you know, one day, maybe I can drink like other people. Maybe I can feel a little bit more normal. But you know, you don't have to be an addict to feel abnormal. There's a lot of people out there that feel that way. And that's why creating this cast for me is important, because it's about trying to understand ourselves, trying to understand our place in this beautiful, twisted, backwards, right, blissful, agonizing universe that is, when I tap into it, when I have those occasional moments that I tap into it, love. And I still can't wrap my head around it. So that's something I think that we'll have to be exploring. Because how, you know, that's one of the reasons why I stopped with the dogmatic religions, because there was so much contradiction with Old Testament and New Testament and Old Testament and Old Testament. And how can there be such aggression from a higher power? How can there be such evil to be birthed in mankind and humankind? But somehow there's this love that's always there. And I, you know, I used to use psychedelics to tap into that, and you know, that would sort of help for a while, but it would wear off eventually, and then what, you have to do it again. And I don't want to have to do that anymore. I want to find a way where I can, like Joseph Campbell said, find my bliss. You know, I need to find my bliss. And I don't know, if you're listening to this and you want to put something up in the chat room on the Mixlr account, that'd be great. I'd love to hear back from anybody out there, whether you're sober or not sober, if you're still using, you know, and you're not ready, you can still send me a chat. You know, maybe we can share some thoughts and some emotions that we're going through, because I am not one to judge anyway, and I'm certainly not proselytizing my personal recovery program, because everybody's going to be different. But we do have a lot in common, and there's a lot of pain and shame that goes right back to the root of our childhood, and it continues through life. And how the hell do we deal with this crap? I don't know. We're working that out, I guess. One day at a time, as they say. And the honest truth is, I used to care about how much time I have sober. Now I really don't give a shit. I really don't. I just need to stay clean and as healthy as I can today. And I don't know, that's it. So, you know, my energy is a little bit low because it's still early in recovery and I'm still adapting. You know, so I'm sure I'll have more future casts where I'll be a little bit more upbeat. But again, that's kind of why I'm doing this, and I'm curious to see how I will grow, and I'll be able to look back at these, you know, these casts and reflect. And maybe that'll be helpful for me as well as you. I don't know. So anyway, this is A, and thanks for listening. Be well.